In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with you. So as always, we like to always start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is also the mother of each and every one of us. So we'd like to turn to Mary and ask Mary to be with us. Mary is also known as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's say the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And bless the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, I'd like to invite all of you to pray with me to the spiritual director of our conversation. That spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. He's also known as our consoler. The Holy Spirit is also known as the interior master of our spiritual life. St. Paul reminds us that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask him to give us a lot of light, a lot of joy, and the interior fire of charity to burn within our hearts, as we say. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Gregory the Great, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. So good morning to all of you, and always I like to offer my prayers for you, and I like to offer these special intentions. As I place all of you on the altar in my Mass. I'd like to place all of you on the altar in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I would like, in a special way, to pray that all of us will try to pursue holiness of life. Jesus said, be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. Let's get in the habit of praying to the saints. Reading the lives of the saints. Getting to know the saints, and try to imitate the saints. That's what we're called to do. My second intention will be I'd like to pray for all of your families. In a very special way, I'd like to pray for your children and your teenagers. Because we're living in a world in which there are many ideas out there, especially in the academic milieu or environment. There are many ideas that are being taught that are inimical to our Catholic faith, and especially the transgender agenda is diametrically opposed to the teaching of the Church, the teaching of the Bible, against natural law, against the family. So I'd like to pray that all of you who are raising children today would educate them well and protect them from the many enemies you have out there. And there are many. The next would be, my intention would be that all of you would have a great desire to pray, to grow in your prayer life. Indeed, we come together every day to foster within ourselves a real hunger for prayer, that we'd be able to live out what the psalmist teaches us, as the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. That all of us will have a real strong desire to grow deeper in our prayer life. That we'll make our holy hour. Fulton Sheen calls this the hour of power. That we'd place a priority, a premium on our prayer life. Find the time, find the place, utilize the method, dig into the Word of God. You can use the method that I've taught you over the past few months. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, practical application. There you have a five-step method of praying. So as Joanna has written on the screen, today is the first Friday of the month of September, so we'll say a word on that. Then we've got a lot to cover today. So today is the first Friday of the month. It's a day in which we honor the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. You can see in my studio wall, there's a beautiful image of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And these are the words that we hear from the Sacred Heart of Jesus to each and every one of us. He says, come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, 28-30. Once again, Jesus invites all of us, come to me, all of you are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and humble of heart. For you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then St. Peter says, cast your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. And that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. So today is the first Friday of the month. And in the background here, you can see this picture is one of St. Margaret Mariella Cook. And you have Jesus appearing to this great saint. I'm going to take it off the wall of my studio. And here you can see this is a picture of St. Margaret Mariella Cook, and she is praying, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus appears to her, and he says, behold the heart that loves so much and receives only indifference and gratitude. Console me. So Jesus wants us to console his Sacred Heart. He also told St. Margaret Mariella Cook that he desires the First Fridays, the practice of the nine First Fridays, The practice of the first nine Fridays is our Lord wants us to make a confession within a week. He wants us to also go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He wants us also to receive Holy Communion. But he wants us to make a communion of reparation. Reparation means to repair for the many sins that have wounded his heart. And there are many sins. And if this is done, nine first Fridays, our Lord promises that when we die, he'll be there with us so that we will be saved. So here we have the famous apparition of Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Behold the heart that loves so much and is only received in gratitude and indifference. Let us try to console the heart of Christ by going to Mass and by receiving communion, making a communion of reparation. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We should always be aware of the fact that there is a connection between the holy sacrifice of the Mass as well as the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Because indeed, every time the priest consecrates the host, which becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, we also have in that host, we have the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Literally, not metaphorically, but literally we have the Sacred Heart of Jesus truly present. So let's try to do all we can to visit the Lord, to visit the Blessed Sacrament, to go to Mass, bring our children if we can, to receive our Lord with great love, to try to repair for the many sins that are committed in the world, our country, our church, our family, so many sins, and offer our communion in reparation for the many sins of the world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and the whole world. The prayer that we say when we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Okay, today, my friends, let's move into one of the saints that is left an indelible positive impression upon the Catholic Church. Before getting into the readings, which is the reading of Colossians, then we're into the Gospel of St. Luke, where they ask Jesus, why does he not fast like the disciples of John the Baptist? Before delving into the Word of God, I'd like to speak about the saint that we celebrate today. The saint that we celebrate today is one of the few saints that the Church gives to his title, the Great. You have Leo the Great, you have Gertrude the Great, you've got Albert the Great, but today we have one of the greatest of all the greats. Today we celebrate, my friends, Saint Gregory the Great. Saint Gregory the Great. Who is this man that left such an indelible impression upon the Church? Saint Gregory the Great is one of the four great fathers of the Latin Church. This is called patristics. Who are the four great fathers of the Western Church, the Latin Church? Let's get to know them. First is Saint Jerome, who was instrumental in translating the Bible from Aramaic and Greek into the Latin, and from the Latin, our languages, the vernacular. Then we have Saint Ambrose, the Archbishop of Milan, who was instrumental in the life of Saint Augustine. Saint Ambrose. Then the third would be, of course, Saint Augustine, whose feast day was we celebrated on the 28th of August last week. And finally, we have the saint that we celebrate today. His name is Saint Gregory the Great. So those are the four well-known fathers of the Latin Church. See if we can memorize them. Saint Jerome, Saint Ambrose, Saint Augustine, and Saint Gregory the Great. There we have it. Who was this man, Saint Gregory the Great? Well, he was a Roman. He was born in Italy from a very noble and rich family. He was born around the year 540. And he died year 604. He is the patron of teachers, scholars, and singers, and popes. So he lived in a very difficult time. He was born in Rome, the son of a very wealthy Roman senator. So his father was a political leader in Rome. Then his mother is actually Saint Sylvia. So his mother is a saint. How important it is that parents live holy lives. And parents try to transmit their faith, their love of God, their holiness to their children. Not surprising that Saint Sylvia would be given a son who would be following in her footsteps. So like most nobility of the time, Gregory was highly educated. Very well educated, but different from the wealthy and the educated. He was generous and concerned about helping the poor people. Unfortunately, many of the rich and the highly educated, who had many possessions, cared very little about the poor. But not in the case of this great man, Gregory the Great. He lived in a very difficult time. Now, my friends, we're going through a difficult time also. With the pandemic, with the political unrest, with the social milieu, with radical teaching in the educational sphere. We're going through a tough time with problems within the church. This great pope lived in a very, very difficult time also. So what we should do is not to worry so much about the difficult times, but to focus on God. We should rely upon God. We should pray to God. We should love God. We should trust God. We should give ourselves to God and allow God to work. God can move the mountains. God can change hearts. So in the life of this great man, what were some of the problems that he had to confront? There were wars. There were invasions, famine, and destruction. So when he was in his early 30s, Gregory was made the prefect or the governor of Rome. So he had one of the most important political positions in the world back then. And he was in his early 30s. But what happened was, he was really not content to be involved in politics. With so much turmoil and struggles. So he did something that was radically opposed to that. He was attracted to the religious life. And so he left his position, and he was attracted to the religious life, and that would be the Benedictines. So he left politics and became a Benedictine monk. And it's interesting what he did was his family had a very wealthy estate, and Gregory turned his family estate into an abbey or a monastery named the Monastery of St. Andrew. So he became a monk there. Then after he had established himself in St. Andrew's Benedictine Monastery, he went about and he established 6 more Benedictine monasteries. 6 Benedictine monasteries. So he wasn't content with turning his house, but he was instrumental in 7 Benedictine monasteries that were built because of him. These were all in Sicily. So you probably know that a Benedictine monk lives in silence, long periods of prayer, penance, silence, not talking with many people because of silence which fosters prayer. But his life in the monastery did not last a long time. So around the year 578, he was ordained a deacon of Rome. And given that he had so many gifts, the Pope sent him as a papal ambassador to Constantinople. Back then, Constantinople was a center for Christianity. Now it's a center for the Muslims. And then the year 586, which was about 8 years afterward, he arrived back to Rome, and he was made the abbot of St. Andrew's. So he was the center of Rome, papal delegate to Constantinople. He come back to Rome, and he's made the abbot of this Benedictine monastery. But it's not over yet. So in the year 590, the Pope died. And the people recognized that Gregory had so many talents. They acclaimed him to be Pope. Gregory did not want to be Pope. That was the last thing he wanted to be. But recognizing this to be the will of God, he accepted the responsibility of being Pope. That was in the year 590. So the clergy and the people of Rome really sought him out to be the new leader of the church. So he accepts the responsibility of Pope, and he calls himself the servant of the servants of God. What humility. The servant of the servants of God, Pope Gregory the Great. So when we see now all the gifts that he had from God, how he would use these. And I think it's a challenge for us, as well as with our children, to step back and look at the 3 T's. How do we use our time, our treasures, and our talents? the three T's. How do we use our time, our treasures, and our talents? So God has given all of us time. We all have the same time. Our treasures are different, as well as our talents. But none of us can say that we don't have any talents. That would be wrong. We don't want to give into laziness, but recognize what are our talents and try to recognize them and cultivate the talents that God has given to us to the max. So we already see that he's a political leader, he's an ambassador, he's a monk, he's a leader, he's a prayer warrior, he's one that loves the poor, all these wonderful gifts that he has. So what he does is this. Because of his deep devotion to God, Gregory was able to make peace with the invading Lombards, saving the city from famine. So they're invading factions that were coming in, invading Rome, trying to sack Rome. He was able to make peace with the Lombards. What else? He saved the city from famine by reorganizing the church's property and granaries. So the church was going through a time of great hunger, and he's able to see the resources that Rome had, the granaries. It's kind of like Joseph of the Old Testament, so that the poor would not die of hunger. Kind of like Joseph of the Old Testament. Then he also reorganized the church's property and granaries and restores order within the church. So when he arrives, there's just a lot of disorder. But given he was so orderly, methodic, and systematic, he was able to order the disorder. As St. Ignatius says, we're called in our life to order the disorder in our own lives. And then, even though he's living in Rome now as the Holy Father, the Pope, he had a very strong missionary impulse. And he had a great desire to go to send missionaries to the country of England. The country of England. So he sends Augustine. Now this is not Saint Augustine, the son of Saint Monica, but an Italian man named Augustine. We know him today, Saint Augustine of Canterbury. He sent Saint Augustine of Canterbury, another 40 monks, to England. So he sends St. Augustine and the monks to England. And for this reason, St. Gregory is also known as the Apostle of England. Now you think that this man was so busy that he could not dedicate himself to literary pursuits. Quite the contrary. We have 854 letters that he wrote to the Eastern churches, trying to keep them united with Rome. You got the Western Church, called the Latin Church, then we have the Eastern Church. We want to make sure that there was unity among the Eastern and the Western Church. He also brought about reforms in the liturgy, that means in the Mass. And he encouraged people to pray the Stations of the Cross and to go to daily Mass in Lent. So this, he's living about 1,500 years before us, and he's already promoting daily Mass and frequent communion in the holy season of Lent, and to make the way of the cross. We've seen over the past 50 years that during Lent, Pope John Paul II would go into the Colosseum on Good Friday, and he made the Stations of the Cross. Pope Benedict XVI also would go into the Colosseum and make the way of the Stations of the Cross. He really believed in this as being a very powerful meditation. Probably the most famous literary work that we have of St. Gregory the Great, it's called his book called Pastoral Care. If you'd like to repeat, his book called Pastoral Care. And it basically, it describes the role of a bishop. And this was read for centuries, even to this day, of all the works written for bishops and priests, St. Gregory the Great's Pastoral Care is one of the greatest. And I'd like to just give you one idea from this spiritual masterpiece. He says that we're called to be sentinels, we're called to be guards, standing in a high place, overlooking the towns, the cities, the counties. We're supposed to be vigilant and be overlooking, in a certain sense, our flock, our sheep, and to be aware of the roving wolves that are trying to get into the flock. And he says also that the priest and the bishop, we are called to preach. Says one of the primary missions of the priest, two primary missions of the priest, this is Vatican II, is we're called to pray. We're called to pray. But also we're called to preach. And he says that there are two extremes. We should avoid speaking when we should be silent. That's true. There's a time and place for everything. So we should avoid being imprudent in speaking when it's better for us to practice silence. But on the other side of the coin, and this is just as dangerous, is that if we don't speak out when we should be speaking out, that also is very, very dangerous. So if there's a wolf on the prowl, we don't cry out, wolf, the wolf is going to come in and he's going to ravage and devour the flock. So those who are pastors, those who are priests and bishops are called to preach by their word and by their example. Then his achievements were very many. He's going to be pope for about 14 years. He'll live into his 60s. So he'll be about 64 years of age when he dies. So although his great achievements were many and had widespread effects, Gregory became a saint because of his great love for God. His great love for God, which was reflected in all that he did. So I think we should always underline that. When we're going through the life of a saint, many people think that a saint is someone that did a lot of miracles. To become a saint, you don't have to do any miracles during your life. After you die, there have to be three miracles attributed to you, and you become venerable, blessed, and then saint. However, during our lives, all of us are called to become saints. It's not indispensable that we carry out, we perform miracles during our earthly life. What we have to do is try to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's true. We should try to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So this love of God, this love of God is the key that unlocks the heart of God and holiness. It also has to be said that the last 2 years before he died, Pope Gregory the Great, he suffered a lot of physical pain. So we see also this in the life of John Paul II. In the last couple of years of his life, he was going through a lot of physical pain. And this has to be highlighted, my friends. In our lives are very short in comparison with eternity. How short our life truly is. We all have sufferings in one way or another. It's true. We all have sufferings in one way or another. We all have to carry the cross. Either our sufferings make us better or bitter. They either make us better or bitter. If we carry the cross with Jesus Christ, with patience and perseverance and forbearance, we carry the cross with Christ, then the cross that we carry has infinite value. Probably when you were a kid, you probably heard this from your parents, maybe from the nuns where you went to school. These three words that are very important. Offer it up. How important it is, those three words. Offer it up. Offer it up. So when you have a headache, offer it up. When you have a toothache, offer it up. When you have a stomachache, offer it up. When you have long days of suffering, offer it up. When you have frustrations and failures, offer it up. When we say offer it up, we mean united to the cross of Christ. And place that cross of Christ on the altar. So that when the priest lifts up, he lifts up the host and the chalice in the Mass, what is really present there, you see it on the wall, this image of Our Lady Fatima. Every time the Mass is celebrated, you have the sacrifice of Calvary which is being renewed. Jesus on the cross, offering himself to God the Father for the salvation of the world. So get in the habit of living up that short saying you heard as a child from the nuns or from your parents, offer it up. Offer it up. So that's the saint that we celebrate today. His name is Saint Gregory the Great. So let's ask Saint Gregory the Great to pray for the Pope, to pray for the bishops, to pray for the priests, pray for the politicians, because he was a politician before he became a monk, a priest, and the Pope. Pray for all of us who have leadership responsibilities, that we would carry them out with great love, dedication, and responsibility. Okay, now I'd like to move, my friends, from St. Gregory the Great, Pope and Doctor of the Church and Father of the Church. I'd like to move into the first reading, where St. Paul offers us a wonderful hymn of praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Listen to the words. Now let's pray this prayer of St. Ignatius that we would pray for the grace of intimate knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Intimate knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we would love Him more ardently. Love Him more ardently and follow Him more closely. So these are the words we find in the letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, verse 15 and following. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He Himself might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things for Him, making peace by the blood of His cross, through Him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. What a beautiful, 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 beautiful hymn of praise. It's basically a Christological hymn of praise. A Christological hymn of praise. So I invite all of you, when you're making a holy hour, to basically read that as a prayer. Now I'd like to just pull out one idea from this beautiful Christological hymn. It says, He makes peace by the blood of His cross. So every Friday, my friends, is a day in which we should be making some type of penance or sacrifice today. But also it's a day in which we should spend some time, even though it be briefly, in meditating upon Jesus on the cross and honoring, praising, and worshiping the blood of Christ. Honoring, praising, and worshiping the blood of Christ. Saint Peter, highlighting our great dignity and importance, he says that we were not redeemed, bought back, by silver or gold or by the blood of rams. But we were ransomed, bought back, by the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So recognize your great dignity. You're redeemed. Not by silver, gold, or blood of animals. You were redeemed by the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. Saint Ignatius, he speaks about why Christ died on Calvary, why He suffered so much. And he emphasizes two reasons. The first is to show us the seriousness of sin, that we should do all in our power to try to avoid sin. If we do sin, then we should repent of our sins. The second reason for Jesus dying and suffering so much is to show us how much God loves us. God loves us so much. God loves you so much. You know, God loves you so much. This should give you consolation. That if you are the only person in the world, the only person, Jesus would have been born for you. He would have lived for you. He would have suffered for you. He would have gone to Calvary for you. And he would have suffered, he would have shed every drop of his precious blood for you. How precious you are in the eyes of God. So I invite all of you in your holy hour to very slowly to read and to meditate and to relish this first reading of the Mass today. It's 1 Colossians verse 15 to 20, a beautiful Christological hymn explaining who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us. He shed his blood on the cross, making peace by the blood of the cross. Peace between us and God the Father. So, the psalm we have today is Psalm 100. Psalm 100. The antiphon is, come with joy into the presence of the Lord. Come with joy into the presence of the Lord. Let us, my friends, pray that we experience joy in our lives. That we experience a great joy in our lives. Joy, my friends, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, joy. And in the past, I have made a little acronym for you, and I'd like to go through that again. Joy. Here's a good acronym. Let's see if I can get it. Yeah. Here's an acronym for joy. Put Jesus first, put others second, and put yourself last. It's a good acronym. So you put Jesus first, then you put others second, then you put yourself last. If we do, we place Jesus on the top. He is on the top on our list of priorities. And I think if we read and meditate the first reading, that will come almost naturally. Put Jesus first. Then put others second, before yourself. Then you put yourself last. Then we'll experience great joy. Okay, let's move then from the first reading, Colossians, the responsorial psalm, Psalm 100. Let's move into the gospel reading today. So the scribes and Pharisees, this could have been shortly after Jesus was invited to the house of St. Matthew to celebrate. And there would have been a big banquet in which Matthew received Jesus into his house with a lot of joy and a nice meal and probably wine. So the Pharisees and the scribes, they approach Jesus. And says, Lord, Jesus. Why is it that John the Baptist and his disciples, they fast often and they offer prayers? So fasting and prayer was done by John the Baptist. And the disciples of the Pharisees do the same. John the Baptist, the Pharisees, they're praying and they're fasting. And then they say, but your disciples, they eat and they drink. And Jesus responds by saying, giving the image of a bridegroom and wedding guests. When you have a wedding banquet and you have the bridegroom and you're celebrating a wedding, this is a very festive, joyful occasion. Jesus says, this is not the time to be fasting. There's a time for everything. As the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to laugh, a time to weep, a time for war, a time for peace, a time to embrace, a time not to embrace. There's a time for everything underneath the sun. So Jesus is saying there's a time for fasting, and there's a time not to fast. Time for fasting and a time not to fast. So once the bridegroom is taken away, then he says, then they will fast. So my friend, it's important that we do take this seriously. One of the anecdotes I've given, the importance of prayer as well as penance, is the following. One occasion I was taking a walk, getting a little bit of exercise. Taking a walk in the park, and I was walking, I saw that there was a big bird in front of me, a blackbird. It was a crow. As it got closer to this blackbird, this crow, I was expecting the crow to take flight. But that didn't happen. I was thinking, maybe I'm a modern St. Francis. Maybe I have a certain charisma on animals as well as birds. But that was not the case. Because the bird didn't fly because the bird had some special affection for me. Quite the contrary. The bird didn't fly because the bird, my friends, had a broken wing and it was hopping. I got closer than a group of those blackbirds were flying down close to me because they recognized that their bird companion was in danger, and I flew off, fearful that these other crows would attack me. But it made me think, this blackbird could not fly. Why? Because that blackbird only had one wing. He had to have use of the two wings so that he could take flight. As well as an airplane. None of us want to board an airplane that only has one wing. Unthinkable. So my thought was this. Our spiritual life, we are like the airplane, we are like the blackbird, We're like the eagle. In this sense, in our spiritual lives, we must have two wings so that we can soar to the heights. What are those two wings that we must utilize? They are that of prayer. We have to pray. But also that of penance or sacrifice or fasting or mortification or the ascetical life or self-discipline. Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my follower, he must renounce himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, my friends, by saying no to ourselves and practicing this penance, fasting in one form or another, by doing that, we're saying yes to the love of God. So, my friends, we've had a wonderful conversation talking about a lot. Talking about the first Friday of the month. Talking about the great Saint Gregory the Great. Talking about this beautiful Christological hymn in Colossians about who Jesus Christ is. And then Psalm 100, come with joy into the presence of the Lord. And our last reflection was on the importance of penance and fasting. So given that today is Friday, all of us should choose some concrete action. Maybe giving up meat. Maybe going to Mass today. Maybe making the way the cross. Maybe giving up desserts. Let's learn also how to offer it up for the salvation of many souls. So let me give you my priestly blessing. And as always, we'll see you tomorrow, same time and same place. I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you in a very special way today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.